Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, Fred Obiero.
Hello, and welcome to the Ivy Podcast. My guest today is Rocky Howard. She's the Chief Diversity Officer at Smart Recruiters. Hey, Rocky.
Hey, how are you? It's so nice to be here.
Thanks a lot. Great to have you on. Before we start this episode, I have one small request to our listeners. As we continue to grow the Ivy Podcast, we would appreciate if you would take just a minute of your time to leave us a review on the show, because reviews make a huge difference to podcast channels like ours. Now, time for the episode with Rocky. So Rocky, let's start from the beginning. Tell us a bit about yourself and your role at Smart Recruiters.
Yeah. So hi, Fred. And again, thank you so much for having me on. I start from the beginning. So first of all, I identify as she, her, Black, Christian, Gen X, wife, mom. Uh-huh. I like to embrace all dimensions of my diversity. I have been in the talent acquisition space for 30 years. And most recently, I have accepted the role with Smart Recruiters. If you're not familiar, Smart Recruiters is the leader in the talent acquisition suite space. And I have a unique role that is a bit of a dream job. And so I'm responsible as Chief of Diversity for working with our clients and helping them to improve their diversity hiring strategies and outcomes, and working with our product team to help evolve our technology to be able to support diversity recruiting. And additionally, the other part of my job is to make sure that Smart Recruiters is an organization that is built on a foundation of equity, inclusion, and belonging, where diversity is an expectation. So it's really a good place for me to be, where I could leverage my passion and my experience for driving diversity with, several years of experience in the talent acquisition space.
Great. And Rocky, thanks again for being on the show. For our listeners that may not be familiar with Rocky, she also happens to have her own podcast channel. So Rocky, maybe talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I think it goes back to what I do during the day, right? I am the host of the Voices of Diversity podcast. And what I found is that during the day, and so many of us that are chief diversity officers certainly are focused on systemic and sustainable change within our organization. How do we change the processes and the procedures and the systemic kind of issues that create bias and promote racism in the hiring process and in our cultures as a whole, right? Uh-huh. And what I did find is that I wasn't spending enough time talking about people and the impact that lack of diversity has, especially on those groups of people who have been historically excluded. And I feel like diversity is a heart and mind issue. And I feel like during the day, I'm focused on the minds. I'm really lucky that within the walls of Smart Recruiters, I can focus on the heart piece, but I wanted to delve in that a bit more. And I think a lot of times people think that inequity issues don't still exist, that racism doesn't still exist, that bias doesn't still exist. Right. And the best way to get people to understand that is to tell them the stories, and to tell them the stories through the voices of people who have had those experiences. So the Voices of Diversity is really about giving voices to people from multiple dimensions of diversity and their experiences within the world of work.
I want to go back to something that you mentioned during your intro statement, where you say you work with the product team to improve diversity hiring. What exactly does that entail?
Well, when you think about what Smart Recruiters does, is Smart Recruiters is a company that is a talent acquisition suite. organization, right? So when you think about how do I get jobs posted? How do I assess candidates throughout the process? How do I schedule interviews? How do I assess candidates? How do I get them through offer? It is, we facilitate that process. And so from our perspective, we always want to make sure, you know, tech alone cannot solve a diversity challenge, right? Uh-huh. But as an organization, we believe in a three-pronged approach to helping our clients improve their diversity hiring success. And that three-pronged approach is about providing thought leadership. It's about providing collaborative partnerships, but it's also about providing leading tech. And so it is part of my responsibility to work with our product team to say, how does our product actually support diversity hiring? What do we do within the technology to help you to be able to do that? You know, how, what features do we have that our companies can leverage to increase diversity hiring? And what features do we need to add in the future to help them continue to evolve? So that's kind of what that means.
That is very innovative. That leads me to my next question. What strategic initiatives have you implemented to help establish innovative ways of tracking and promoting diversity and inclusion in the workplace?
Yeah, so for us, the biggest initiative that we have had this year is our diversity hiring toolkit. We hear from a lot of companies, not just our clients, that the one of the largest barriers is they just don't know what to do. They don't know where to start. And so since we do focus on hiring, we created a whole diversity hiring toolkit. And what's wonderful about that diversity hiring toolkit is it's free to any company that wants to take it, not just smart recruiters clients. And what this toolkit allows you to do is we built a diversity hiring maturity model. So we show kind of the four stages of maturity in terms of diversity hiring. We built that on four core pillars of success that each have three standards that sit underneath it. We allow companies to take a really detailed and robust assessment. It's over 130 questions. And once they finish that, they get a plan that we call a diversity hiring blueprint, which actually tells them how they rate in terms of their diversity hiring maturity and gives them tangible action items to be able to take back to their desk and do. And so for us, being able to give people a way to assess where they are currently and be able to build strategic plans around that with true action items, I think is a game changer in how we're supporting not only just our company and not just our clients, but anyone who wants to make a true commitment to increasing diversity and representation in their organization. And then as a byproduct of that, we've had over 400 global organizations, big companies that I won't name because we have guaranteed their anonymity. Uh-huh. But what we're doing is we're taking all of those results. And in September, late September, we'll be launching our what we're going to call our State of Diversity Hiring Report. So companies can, again, pick up this report and read, where are we? You know, where are we as a society in terms of corporate, and where are we in terms of improving diversity hiring outcomes? Where are we falling behind? What did the statistics tell us? And again, what action items that we can take? So I think we have been very proactive in saying we want to be part of the solution.
Look forward to seeing that report. Is that something that's going to be public, or is there a specific repository where people have to access it?
It will be very public, in the same way our diversity hiring toolkit is. And people can always follow me on LinkedIn. I'm sure they will see the announcements. They can follow Smart Recruiters. They'll see the announcements. And certainly if they check out the Smart Recruiters website, they'll be able to find it as well.
Wonderful. As a leader at an HR tech company, what are your thoughts on the future of work, and what role do you see diversity playing in that? Please share any examples you may have.
Yeah, I don't think there is a future of work unless we resolve for diversity, right? It's just really that simple. I think that as we think about the future of work, what we learned in 2020, and I think when you think about the extreme nature for which we had to expedite remote and virtual working, right? It was always coming, I think we like to hold on to the past, and there were some very good reasons for holding on. And I think now we've understood the rate of change, the rate of which we can move to change, and the expectations for which people have. And I think when we think about 2020, and we think about how many women we have leaving the workforce, when we think about the social economic impacts to certain certain people about having to have equipment and spaces to work at home, when we think about the benefits of being able to fill positions remotely and how that adds to our diversity pool of people, there's lots of opportunities when I think about the future. But I don't think that there is a future of work without thinking about how we account for the multiple dimensions of diversity and how much richer that can be if we're able to solve the problem right. So if you think about the challenges someone who is in a wheelchair may have to encounter to actually leave their home and get to work every day, and how much more complex that is versus how much easier it is if I can now work from home and interact. You know, if you think about someone who is visually impaired, who probably has systems at home to be able to account for that, but has to ask for special accommodations in the workplace. Now we're able to address that and maybe make our work, our teams a little bit more diverse because we can accommodate that in a different way. If we can think about and rethink about how we schedule work, and we think about working moms, right? And so, you know, if I've got someone that the example I typically use here is if I hire an accountant, we always expect that accountant to work 9 to 5. Is that really necessary? Do I really care if my accountant works from 9 to 5, or do I care that, you know, they have the P&L done on the 30th of the month? And so can I hire an accountant and say, you work at home? And so if you want to work from, you know, 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. and then from 8 to 10, you're getting the kids settled in, and then you want to work from 10 to noon and then, you know, 9 o'clock at night to midnight, because that accommodates you as long as you're meeting the criteria of what I need in the role, I don't really care as long as the output is there. So I think what we need to think about when we look at the future of work is how do we appropriately engage people from multiple dimensions of diversity? Where is it that we need to invest? How is it that we need to be flexible and look at the wonderful benefits that that could provide for increasing representation and diversity in our workplace?
In what ways can companies improve on diversification in underrepresented areas and departments? I know you've talked about some of the things that that you've directly overseen at your company, but for those companies that may be struggling with this topic, how would you advise them on that?
If I can clarify the question, I think that's really about how do I improve diversity and how do I increase it in my workplace?
Correct.
And so for me, there's a couple of things. Let me say this is that you cannot have a diverse team without having a culture that is built on inclusion and belonging and equity, because you can recruit people, but they certainly won't stay if they don't feel included and like they really belong, that they not only have a seat at the table, but that they can push their sleeves up and eat and laugh and talk and engage with everyone else. And that, you know, that they're sitting at the big table and not the kids' table, right? And so, you know, those are kind of the visual examples you can think about when you think about inclusion and belonging and equity, right? That we're all sitting at the same table, that we all have the same seat. We're all invited to engage in the same way, and we all feel like we belong. That having been said, when you think about how do we increase the pipeline and how do we look at a more structured approach to recruiting diverse talent, from our perspective, I'll go back to our diversity hiring maturity model and our four pillars of success. We believe that's built in four different ways. It's really about what we call diversity brand equity. And so I think most companies are very familiar with the concept of brand equity and creating a robust brand and the benefits that that has. And so this is taking it a step further and saying, if your brand is not inclusive, your employment brand is not inclusive, and you don't have strong diversity brand equity, you can't expect to recruit diverse talent. And interestingly enough, it's not only about increasing diverse talent, it's about talent as a whole. So I've seen some stats where as much as 80% of people, regardless of whether they consider themselves or they identify from a diverse group of people, are looking to work for organizations that are diverse. So diversity brand equity is important. I think you have to have a strategic sourcing plan, which is our second pillar. You can't just, you know, say you have a hiring strategy or a recruiting strategy and put diversity in front of it and call it a day. You have to be very strategic about what dimensions of diversity do you want to recruit from? What are your specific goals around that? What are the sources that you're using to do that? There are lots of pieces and plans, and how are you investing in nurturing a pool of diverse talent, creating that pipeline and nurturing that pipeline. The third piece for us is about fair and strategic, fair hiring processes. And so there's nothing worse than recruiting diverse talent and putting them into a biased process. And so, you know, do you have fair recruiting processes that allow for a great experience for everyone that's going through your recruiting process? And is it not only fair, but is it inclusive? You know, have you ever thought about, I can say for myself, you know, I can't tell you how many times in my career I've sat in an interview panel, you know, across from white men. I'm not a white man. And so, you know, does that make me feel included? Is that a fair and equitable process? Will they have biases that they don't even recognize that they have? And will they evaluate me from a fair process? So do you have diverse people that are participating in your process? Have you looked at your job descriptions? Have you looked at qualifications? Have you benchmarked those? Are you asking for the right qualifications? So I think fair and equitable hiring processes are certainly important. And finally, none of this works unless there is organizational support from the very top of the organization all the way down. You know, contrary to popular belief, diversity does not belong to a chief diversity officer, and it doesn't belong to a CEO exclusively. Diversity belongs to every person in the organization. And so we need to equip people to understand what their role is like to help build cultures that are inclusive and equitable, where people belong and diversity can thrive. So when you ask me about how do you successfully hire for a diverse team, that's what we've built our diversity hiring maturity model on.
Rocky, I have to say, I'm overly impressed by those four pillars, and not just them, but the level of detail that you've provided for those. Is there anywhere where we can actually find that online? Because I believe strongly that a lot of companies could benefit from that.
Absolutely. I will drop the link to you, and we would encourage companies to take it. Like, this is why we built it. Like, we wanted to remove the excuse that people don't know what to do and they don't know where to start. And so it was important for us to build something that was inclusive, that everyone had access to. So I am dropping you the link, Fred, and I would be absolutely thrilled if you shared that with your audience.
Absolutely. And thank you for your generosity. We'll actually include that with the episode notes so that when people listen to the episode, they can click on the link right there. They don't have to go anywhere else. So we appreciate that. Sure. Last question for you. What has helped you get to where you are? And what of advice would you give to someone that wants to pursue a career that's similar to yours?
So that's a really good question. My first and always immediate response when I'm asked that question is grit. It's not easy. I find that a lot of people want the the role or want the position, but don't want to do the work to get there. And I think the single greatest contribution to my career has been having grit. I think for me, that grit is founded on the fact that, as I mentioned, I'm Christian, I'm a God girl. And so, you know, I have that grit because it stands on a foundation of faith for me that penetrates everything that I do. I also think it was a focus. Like I decided that I happen to do what I love to do for a living. Uh-huh. And I want it personally to be the very best at that. So it had nothing to do with me for climbing corporate ladders or, you know, doing all those things. It was about how do I want to show up? How do I want to be known? And where do I want to have impact? And I think if you can decide what you do really, really well and be a continuous learner in that space and hone your skills so that you are the best at it, then it has tremendous benefits. And I think the last thing I would say is for me, I found that my career really took off when I decided to, as we like to say in the tech world, bring your whole self to work, right? I got to a place in my career where I decided this is who I am and this is who I'm going to be. And I'm going to do what I really do well. I don't really care about the promotions anymore. I don't care about the money. I care about being able to show up and bring my whole self to the plate. And when I did that, I found that there's a different energy and there's a different way that I was able to deliver. And ironically, the very thing that I thought might just be the end of my upward mobility wound up being the thing that I think was a catalyst for it.
Hey, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your insight with us. I look forward to catching up with you in the near future.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity. And hopefully your audience will find great value in our diversity hiring toolkit and the assessment. Honestly, if you went to a Boston Consulting or Deloitte or whatever, you would literally pay somewhere between $20,000 and $40,000 for what we're giving to you for free. So please take advantage of it. And people can feel free to connect with me on social media. I'm always happy to answer questions.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for sharing all of that. Thank you for your generosity again. And we'll catch up again soon.
All right. Take care, Fred.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.